Welcome to another episode of the Alaska Airlines Center podcast. We are joined today with Jared Mazurek. We're going to be talking about the upcoming AFC 139. Jared, welcome and thank you for taking the time to come and talk to us.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
All right. Well, yeah, first of all, let's start maybe a little bit with your history in MMA and especially with AFC and kind of what got you into it and leading up to where we are today.
I guess I first got into it in 2006. That was my first professional fight. It was down on the Kenai Peninsula. Promotion isn't around anymore. Later, that kind of like introduced me to jiu-jitsu. Kind of filled a void after, you know, high school sports and in wrestling. Like, I was really into high school sports and competing, you know, all through high school. I never, like, really picked a sport. It was always, like, five different ones, you know, sort of thing. Just the competition aspect. And so, yeah, after I found jiu-jitsu, I was like, wow, I need to kind of it's the closest thing to superpowers. I never like felt it. I've never like, you know, experienced anything like it. So pretty much really fell into that and decided never to fight again until I was at least a purple belt. I was like, there's way too much about this fighting thing than I thought there was. And so fast forward 2010, I'm back here in Alaska and fought again in the AFC. So I took quite a hiatus, and then 2010 was my debut in the AFC.
Perfect. Right. Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize how much time and effort goes into this, especially just for a single fight. Do you want to touch on a little bit of what goes into a fight? And you know, a lot of people might be ignorant and think that, oh, they just, you know, come off the couch and come in and fight, but it's a whole lot longer than that and a long process to train just for a single fight.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's there's not enough time in a lifetime really to be able to be good at everything, you know. Everyone's going to have their strengths and weaknesses like regardless. It's one of the beautiful things about MMA where even the people that have been considered, you know, the greatest of all time, you look at their record and they're like, what, this guy has like 10 losses, you know? And it's a unique sport in that aspect because it has such a wide skill set that, you know, you can't be good at everything. There's always going to be some weakness you have. Right. And so, leading up to a fight, you kind of focus on what strengths you can take advantage of in a fight. And, really just hone those in because once you accept a fight, you're not really going to change too much, you know. So you're going to have to just focus on what you can change and sharpen right before and prepare for that. Okay. And the other thing I guess I should say is, you know, mixed martial arts and, you know, a lot of sports, I mean, there's kind of two fights you're preparing for, and that's the weight cut and then also the actual fight. And so to be able to balance all that, to kind of get on your weight, your target weight, and as well be fully prepared for going to war with another human in a fist fight, you know. So
yeah, absolutely. You touch on a little bit on the weight and making weight. Have you ever gone up or down a weight class just to make a fight happen?
I've gone to 145 a couple times. My competitive weight is obviously 135. That's the lowest I can be and still perform at a high level. 145, when I'm preparing for a 135 fight, I'm walking around at 145 sort of thing. But 45, I've gone up to that. And I'm willing to go, you know, higher up as well in the future. I've always, like, had a lot of respect for guys, like, you know, that just they'll test their skills against anyone, you know, and jump around and believe that their skill can kind of be the equalizer of any sort of weight disadvantage, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we should mention that you have obviously a fight coming up next Wednesday, April 18th, here at the Alaska Airlines Center for AFC 139. How long do you take in that preparation process to just get ready for a fight Like, how long is that training once you know the schedule, the fight is scheduled?
Usually, I think this is a good rule of thumb. I mean, most, most like martial artists, it's this usually like the 6-7 week period out. And I know promoters usually understand that's a good time frame. And so they usually try to schedule people, at least that far out. Yeah. But, I mean, hopefully when you're in your fight career, you're hopefully always trying to be ready around that target weight, right. But, I've yet to do it. The best case scenario would be, I'm on my target weight,
right,
the 6 weeks before the fight.
Yeah.
Because it's just a pain to, when your calorie output is just so much more than your calorie input,
right,
while you're pushing your body, trying to prepare,
And as far as, how did you first get involved with Legacy Jiu-Jitsu? Because it's become one of the staples here for Jiu-Jitsu and essential MMA here in Alaska.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, I'm, one of the people, a part of Legacy Jiu-Jitsu. Basically it was just a lifelong dream. I think anyone who kind of gets into martial arts,
right,
within their first week, especially jiu-jitsu, when you realize like how life-changing it is, everyone's kind of like has that dream of like, it would be amazing, mm-hmm, if I owned my own gym. And like all I did was train jiu-jitsu all day, right, long and everything. And so that actually is what kept me in fighting is I was like, I want to amass all this knowledge. I want to have experienced things that I can pass on to other people.
Right.
And I'm not just, ignorant when I'm, I've lived it,
right,
hopefully. So that kind of kept me in fighting and has, I just always want to keep the door open, right, even though it was like an unbelievable dream. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to own my own gym. That would be incredible.
Right.
And so I've just always kept the door open. And then, one day, just the stars aligned. I knew all the right people and all the right things happened. And sure enough, we were able to open Legacy Jiu-Jitsu, me and two of my very close friends who, mm-hmm, also trained and I knew for years. And it was, the stars aligned. And now I have like the perfect environment to prepare for a fight like this,
yeah,
just welcoming environment that is very beneficial for me. I mean, I get to walk in every day and hang out with all my best friends.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's not work. Absolutely.
How big is the roster that you guys have now as far as fighters?
Well, it comes and goes. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially life gets in the way, not many people. I mean, we do have quite a few people that they're professional jiu-jitsu practitioners. That's, mm-hmm, that's all they do is jiu-jitsu all day, every day. And we have people that, are professional mixed martial artists where that's their goal every day is just get better at mixed martial arts. Mm-hmm. But that roster pretty much, it changes pretty drastically. Like people get different jobs, people have babies, and,
right,
life happens. I always say, jiu-jitsu and martial arts in general is, it's a marathon. It's, mm-hmm, not a sprint.
Right.
It's a skill set. It's not like it's like joining a gym, a normal traditional gym. You can fall in and out of shape.
Yeah.
But you learn a skill. You learn technique. Mm-hmm. That's something that stays with you your whole life.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. And with Legacy, always well represented at AFC, and certainly a gym that a lot of people recognize and hear a lot of the fighters coming out of. Are there other Legacy fighters that are going to be in this upcoming one?
Absolutely. So co-main event, it just being the co-main event, it should be the other, incredible fight. We have Legacy Jiu-Jitsu Josh Branham on there. As far as experience, he's probably one of the most experienced people on the card. If I could count that he might be the most experienced guy on the card as far as number of fights. Good example. I mean, this is AFC 139. He was on AFC 2. So, I mean, he's been around for quite a while.
Yeah.
And him going against Casey Johnson, that's I just think it's a great fight. He's considered the number one prospect out of his state, and I'm glad that Sarah was able to bring him up and have him go against a vet like Josh.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Speaking on AFC, what has that meant for the state of Alaska to have an outlet like that where people can compete every month?
It's incredible. And as far as long as it's been going on too, I mean, there's other promotions that have been going on, a lot longer, but as far as mixed martial arts, no one. And not only that, but, just such a good, good ambassador of the sport from the get go. They've always, they've never tried to promote MMA as like this blood sport or just pure violence or anything like that. Cause I mean, there's three areas of the fight fan. There's the person that's into it for the storyline, the person that's into it for the violence. And then there's the person that's into it for, the technique and the skill and they really understand what's happening. And, I think AFC has always really done good for the sport, trying to, promote the other two aspects, not just the violence.
Right.
Absolutely.
And it's been around forever as well. I mean, I remember when I was in living in Florida training jiu-jitsu, it was around 2007. You might have a mixed martial arts event, every 7 months out of the whole state of Florida. And then I'm looking back at Alaska, oh my gosh, we have events, we have promotions all over the state and in every month, so AFC's always done a very good job of representing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sarah works really hard too to get those fights, and she does go out of state to travel and try and get those people in. So she really is focused on multiple fights out, and I know she's always working hard to get those good matchups for the people to see. And Felipe touched on it a little bit too with the AFC. And how well it's done over the years too. It's also a stepping stone for a lot of those people that want to go on. A couple examples, Demetrius Johnson, who was up here with AFC, now one of the biggest names in UFC. Are there other people that are on that same track that would like to go and do that? Or are people, kind of content with doing the AFC? I mean, do you see some of both?
Oh, absolutely. I think other two big names to bring up are a few big names. I mean, Lauren Murphy.
Absolutely.
That was one person that, really built her name up here in Alaska and everything. And the other is Jared Cannonier, another really was able to build his resume and get well known before he left. As far as future people, I think the next card, AFC 140, is a perfect example. Here we have an up-and-coming undefeated fighter in Carlton Minas, and he'll be fighting a ex-UFC vet. So really getting his name out there, and if he can beat a UFC vet like Justin, then that puts him out there. Right. And not only that, I mean, UFC for UFC to look at AFC and be like, hey, you're such a prestigious promotion of Alaska. We like the way you do it. Then we're going to put you on UFC Fight Pass. Fight Pass alone makes the AFC, a top feeder in the country, I would say.
Absolutely. They do have that, and it is a nice feature for patrons to tune in from all over the world on that UFC Fight Pass. And speaking of UFC, one of the things that really brought it to attention was Dana White came up here a few years ago.
Right.
You happened to be featured on it. We saw you on TV, and Dana White had some very positive things to say about you and for AFC. So they certainly do notice. What was that experience like to be able to perform in front of Dana White and, the UFC, and must have felt pretty good to get some high compliments from them as well?
Absolutely, yeah. Dana White and, Matt Serra, I've always been a big fan of him, and just to get that recognition and publicity out there was great. It was kind of like a culmination of things. That fight card, I fought Zach Eastlick, which in my opinion is, as far as if you count up all the minutes of championship rounds in the AFC, you could argue that he was one of the greatest AFC bantamweights ever, And just no, with my jiu-jitsu background and being in the fight community and everything, I always knew that fight was probably going to happen.
Yeah.
And so for it to happen when Dana White came up here and everything, I was like, wow, okay, start, like, this day has been building, you know? And yeah. So yeah, no. So the way it ended and the way it all happened, that was like a dream come true event, absolutely.
And that was an epic fight, too. Because for the longest time, it was back and forth, and you were taking a lot of punches, and then you got him with the submission, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I went into that fight, I mean, you always got to be confident going in. I mean, you're thinking you're like the baddest man on the planet, but I really did think I was going to, as much as I respect him, I really thought I was going to run through him. Mm-hmm. And after the first couple rounds, I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is not going the way I'd like to, you know? I took him down in the first maybe 30 seconds,
right.
Or I mean the first, you know, bit of the fight. He popped right back up out of it, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to take him down again. No big deal, you know. And then two rounds later, I'm like, okay, I've been punched quite a bit. And so, yeah, I had to kind of, Jared, what is your strength? Come on, like, get down, get to jiu-jitsu again,
right.
and go back to that. So, yeah, I'm grateful that it ended the way it did, but it could have very easily have gone either way. He's done that to... That's why he had so many rounds in championship rounds in the AFC, because he's done that to so many people, you know?
And what's that mindset like when you are actually fighting? What goes through your mind in between rounds or when you're actually fighting? Is it just, like you said, getting back to those basics? Or?
I mean, hopefully I'm just in the moment to, like, and I'm so sharp that, like, you know, you have no mind. You're kind of just, like, in there. But there are flashes where, you know, it comes in sort of thing where you're like, oh, my gosh, like Dana White's watching me, or like or you're like, OK, time to change my game plan or something like that. But I'm also hearing my coaches. You know, you can surprisingly hear your coaches extremely well.
Yeah.
And so they kind of like they can kind of like bring you back centered and whatnot. But A lot of it is just no mind. You're kind of focused at the task at hand, you know, what you've been training your whole life for, right? Definitely.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. As far as what you see MMA and even Legacy Jiu-Jitsu, what do you see that for the future of the sport and your gym? How do you see that evolving in the next couple of years here in Alaska?
I see it. Hopefully, it becomes more popular. There's still, I mean, every time I think that MMA is mainstream, then I like talk to someone. They're like, "I've never heard of that in my entire life." And I'm like, "What? Really? Yeah. Have you ever watched TV?" But no, there's still a lot of misconceptions about it,
right.
And everything. It looks way more violent than other sports. People don't really understand like what real damage is,
right.
And like pretty much it. Brain damage is what's important, and MMA is so new that they put more emphasis on safety than other sports. Absolutely. I mean, I think the culture of boxing and football still have a long way to go. They kind of need to evolve with the times. Not so much evolve, but just let people know the risks they're getting into. People like look at the small gloves in MMA and they're like, oh, like that's not good for someone, where really that's like that makes it the safest,
right.
The safest thing you can do, because you're taking less hits to the brain, which is the most important thing. I mean, in my opinion, the only way to make it even safer is no gloves, and where you can't tape your hands to where you have this like brick that you're able to punch someone with, and it'd be a completely different sport, you know. So I think that'll hopefully change over time, and I really think a lot of it will change with the popular, you know, jiu-jitsu becoming more popular.
Right.
Not until I think jiu-jitsu, you know, people are debating like, oh, should I put my kid in jiu-jitsu or t-ball? Like when people are like putting jiu-jitsu on the same as soccer or t-ball or something like that, I mean, that's when MMA is really going to flourish, and you're going to have that, you know, that fight fan that is watching for the technique and things like that instead of the violence or the storyline.
Awesome.
Yeah. So. And looking ahead here to this upcoming week, AFC 139, April 18th, the co-main event, Jared, you're taking on Brandon Campbell. Have you matched up with him before? Do you know much about him? What's the outlook for this?
Yeah, well, Brandon Campbell, I do know him. He's, you know, he's well known around. We have a lot of mutual friends and stuff. I respect him a lot as a fighter. I know a lot of people that are like, I'll respect anyone that steps in that cage, you know? And I do to an extent, but I respect the professionals, the people that who prepare correctly and, you know, who take it seriously, and they, devote their life to, like, hey, at the end of this, like, fight day, I'm going to die that day. Like, basically, I'm not looking a second past it, you know? Like, that's my number one goal. So, and he's one of those people. He's a complete professional. I have no doubt that he's preparing in, you know, every way he can. Right. And that, come fight day, I'm going to get the best Brandon Campbell that he's able to be.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And you touched on it a little bit, too. There is that mutual respect. I think one of the nice gestures that you usually see in fighting, you know, a lot of times you'll see people give a hug afterwards or that mutual respect. Hey, you got me. It was a good fight, you know, regardless of how the fight turned out. And I think that's, it's one of the classy gestures that you see, that two competitors are going head to head. And regardless of how it turned out, you see that mutual respect after the fight of, hey, good job. You might have got me, I got you, whatever it is. But, I think that's one of the things that the patrons also recognize, that these are two competitors that are putting their heart and souls into it, but then also the nice touch afterwards as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, at the end of a fight, it's interesting. You can know nothing about this other person, you know, in their personal life, but you go through something so crazy like that, and you're like, wow, no one really understands what I went through other than maybe you know,
exactly.
Like we both went through the same thing, you know, and you can't really explain it otherwise.
Exactly. Yeah. And then building on that a little bit too, there's got to be a little bit of competition and rival when you have some of these fights that come up, and either they build over time or they happen outside the ring. And so there's got to be a little bit of that, animosity towards some fighters, and you don't have to name names, but I'm sure it happens. And I'm assuming that there are some fights that you take a little more personal than just business.
I've not been extremely active fighter. And the fighters come and go so quickly that, yeah, I've never really like built up anyone that like, you know what, I really want to fight this guy or anything.
Right.
Especially like when I have a fight scheduled, yeah. I'm never looking further than that or anything.
Sure.
I guess the only fight that if I really had to think about it, my one loss, you know, I really feel like it wasn't my full potential, and I'd love to have that one back maybe, but like I said, that's after really thinking on it sort of thing.
Right.
Once I have a fight scheduled, that's the only thing in my, you know, view.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Another fight to look out for would be David Booker and Elijah Tyrell. I don't know a lot about Elijah, but David Booker's probably one of the more active fighters, if not the most active fighter at the moment in Alaska.
Right.
He fights all different styles all the time. You know, he's got a lot of traditional boxing experience. He fights Muay Thai. He does a lot of MMA. So as far as exciting fights, that one could be a sleeper. That one could be one that surprises people.
And I think David Booker just had a fight in AFC 138, or maybe it was 138 or 137, where it actually went a distance and it was decided by the judges. So,
yeah, absolutely. I think he surprised a lot of people in that one, just because, like I said, he has a ton of striking experience, but the grappling he knows really saved him in that fight, I believe. It was back and forth. The guy was able to take him down a few times, and
right.
He's able to reverse it and and you know, get out of trouble when he had to.
Sorry, one quick question I just had for you. As far as the nicknames that are developed for these fighters, for example, David's name is the Coffee Boss. How is that created? Is that between teammates or?
I think that someone has to give you your nickname. Okay. I don't think I get to come in and be like, no, man, I'm T-Bone, you know? Yeah. So yeah, I'm pretty sure it would have to be a teammate or, you know, a fight announcer or someone to give you a nickname and for it to stick, absolutely.
Do you have any that you've been given or go by?
I think people have tried to give me nicknames, but no, none of them have ever stuck or been accurate.
Yeah, there are some good ones we've seen over the years for sure. Yeah. One other question too, if some of the fighters, like we touched on, Sarah does a lot of recruiting outside of the state as well, brings people up from Hawaii or New York or California, Washington. Do you find it a little bit more difficult when you get somebody from out of state, you don't know their history as well or don't know them as much as maybe some of the local fighters? Does that change your preparation at all or do you find it about the same?
It might change a little. Nowadays, you know, you can almost find anyone on the internet and, you know, find some of their fights and whatnot. But it is true, like, if you can't find common opponents or anything like that, it does make things a little bit more difficult as far as, like, knowing their skill set. But for the most part, you're going to know the person's strengths and their weaknesses. You just might not know the level of that strength or weakness. And as far as, like, bringing fighters out of state, I think Sarah has had the perfect balance, really, because first and foremost, you know, she loves the state of Alaska. She's a, you know, big supporter of Alaskan fighters and stuff. And being on Fight Pass and, you know, the prestige of her promotion at what it's gotten, you know, she could have fighters, you know, a whole fight card of nothing but fighters out of state that decide to fly themselves here. But she chooses to, you know, have a great balance of giving opportunities to local people as well as, you know, bringing in some, you know, very high-class talent from out of state.
Again, April 18th, AFC 139 coming up this Wednesday, 7 o'clock.
Definitely.
Tickets still on sale, AlaskaAirlineCenter.com or AlaskaFighting.com. Yeah. For more information on the fighters themselves, feel free to check out AlaskaFighting.com. There's a lot of great stuff that Sarah has posted on there about previous fights and upcoming fights as well. Certainly have the co-main event, AFC 139 with Casey Johnson and Josh Branham. Also our guests, Jared Mazurk and Brandon Campbell. So it'll be a great one. If anybody hasn't been to AFC or it's been a while, it is down at the Alaska Airlines Center, new venue for it. The new brand this year was a new cage, new home. We certainly welcome and love to have the Alaska Fighting over here at the Alaska Airlines Center. Not a bad seat in the house, too. So if anybody hasn't been here before, you're right on top of the action, which as a fighter, I'm assuming you can feel the crowd and get a little bit more energy. And how is it fighting over here with the action being so close to the patrons?
I love it. I mean, it's a very intimate venue. People always ask me, you know, like, oh, do I need to spend the money on a floor ticket? And you obviously have a different experience. I mean, you get to mingle, like, pretty much if you're, you know, close in the fight community, you're like wanting to be on the floor, like with all the others. But as far as view and the show you're going to get, I mean, there's, yeah, not a bad seat in the house.
Jared, thank you so much for being here tonight. Our guest on the podcast today, Jared Mazurk, going up in the co-main event on AFC 139, April 18th, here at the Alaska Airlines Center. Tickets still on sale. Get your tickets now. You won't want to miss this fight.